Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick for the next 2 hours on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Thanks for joining us. We are live on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 Eastern, as always. And wherever you get your podcast on your favorite download, please give us a chance if you cannot catch us live. And remember, Texas 590, 590, our good friend Sammy here will feel like it's worthy enough to mention.
He will read them and then discard them.
If it gets his blood boiling.
Yeah.
He will.
I always have it open, boys.
Constant eyes on it.
All right. Just some sad news. Various reports out there on former National Hockey League tough guy Chris Simon passing away at age 52.
Yeah.
And someone that I came across on a couple of occasions.
You fought him, guys.
I fought him.
Wow.
A couple of times.
He was tough.
He had an issue with me, probably because I maybe chirped him a couple times.
Okay.
So one time in Quebec, we got separated a couple times, and I knew it was coming the next go around at Madison Square Garden. And I knew that if I don't do something, he's just going to be all over me. And he was.
He's got to be, was he 6'4" or something? Way bigger than you, isn't he?
It may have been the number one time I was really fearful.
Yeah.
Really fearful. But either I was going to do this or he was going to just embarrass me and chase me all night. And I couldn't do that in front of my teammates.
Yeah.
So I went at him and he stung me a couple. I actually came back and held my own, but like the other guy had 5 or 6 inches on me, maybe 45 pounds.
Yeah.
I had no business fighting the guy.
And you know what? He put a lot of fear into a lot of people, but also, you know, how many goals did he score the 1 year? He had a season where he put a bunch in the net. He won a Stanley Cup.
He had a 16-goal year, a 29-goal year.
Yeah.
A 14-goal year, multiple 14-year goal. Yeah, above 10, 5, 6 times. So he could play, too.
29-goal year.
I had him really in that same class as Probert, where he was the most feared guy out there, but he could also find a way to put the puck in the net and play the game.
Yeah. Well, he ended up in 3 Stanley Cup finals. Like I said, winning the one with Colorado. So,
the Flames, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sad, you know, sad news, you know, his playing career aside. It's just, you know, our heart goes out to his family and our thoughts are with them. It sounds like it was sudden. So awful.
Yeah. Condolences to the Simon family.
Yeah.
Okay. Tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs and the Philadelphia Flyers at the Wells Fargo Center. And usually we'd start off the show with talking Leafs and, you know, some
fourth
issues.
Fourth line breakdown.
Some issues or some debatable question marks going into the game. But that's not the case tonight because the main storyline of this game doesn't belong to the Toronto Maple Leafs. It belongs to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Way to go, Torts. Yes, Sean Couturier, the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, has been healthy scratched for tonight, along with the two guys who were on his line last game, Cam Atkinson and Dennis Gurianov. None of them playing tonight. Couturier is a fascinating case where, you know, he had fought to come back from injury, had been through quite a bit, had a wonderful first half of the season, like a really, really good first half. Struggling a little bit of late, but, played 11 minutes against Boston in a 6-5 loss and finds himself healthy scratched. His team with a 1-point lead in the 3 seed of the division and a 2-point lead on the second wild card spot. They're not going to play their healthy captain with 15 games to go, 14 games to go.
I can't recall over my playing career ever seeing a story where you got a big game, a team's chasing a playoff spot or at least trying to hold on to their playoff spot, and you healthy scratch your captain.
Mm-hmm.
I can't ever recall hearing a story like this, and I'm sorry, but I think it's the most ridiculous thing I've heard all season long,
really?
If not for the last few years.
I'm really glad to hear that because I think it's insane.
I think it's under no circumstances do you embarrass your team captain, mind you, not a team captain that you inherited, a team captain that you named months ago.
You named him the captain, yes.
You did.
Yes.
Along with your group, your general manager, your president, I don't know, maybe a few key guys in the room. This is the leader of your group that's not good enough tonight to play a hockey game. I think it's one of the most embarrassing things I've ever heard.
And, I couldn't agree more with that. It just seems like such a Tortorella thing to be like, doesn't matter who you are. It's accountability. It's whatever. And then, you know what Tort said when he came out to the media today? No, I don't either, because he didn't. He didn't have the accountability to come out. He sent his assistant coach, Rocky Thompson, to answer questions. Now, I think Torts is getting his cast off, they were saying. He was in a sling. He had some sort of injury.
It's 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, you have to take the cast off. With your hockey team.
You got to take off your cast at that precise time.
Exactly. So you can't go out there and preach accountability, scratch your captain with 14 games to go, and not come out and explain yourself a little bit. And for the record, if you listen to Couturier's quotes, it doesn't sound like he explained himself to Couturier all that well either.
Do we have that sound?
I have one clip of it, not the one that you have, but I have another one where he asked about what Torts told him. So if you want to play the clip,
let's do it.
Put it in there.
Has he given you any direction on what he needs to see from you or what you need to work on to make sure you're in the lineup and getting a lot more minutes than you have been?
Not really. I've gotten the same answer as you guys, just need to see more. Still looking to find out what that is, but I'm trying every game. It's not like I'm just like sitting around or doing nothing. I think, like I said yesterday, I felt last couple games with the limited ice time or opportunities I've been getting, been doing all right, but I guess we're going and with the best lineup available tonight to get a win. So it is what it is.
So the captain, the leader of this hockey club, turns around and says to the media, you're getting the same answer as I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, solid communication between your captain and your coach.
Yeah, not great. And there's another clip where he says he's frustrated the way he's been treated. He talks about the 11, the ice time, the limited opportunity he's been getting. You know, he's not a guy who doesn't work, who doesn't put in the commitment or whatever. It's, you can't tell me you can't put him as your 4C and play him for that same amount of ice time or something in a game your team needs tonight. And so now what have you done but created some real frustration? You've made yourself the center of attention. The focus isn't on the hockey game for your team. Maybe they get a win. I don't know.
JB, even if they get a win. No, let me go further.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even if they get a win, somehow turn this around and make the playoffs, get to a conference final, get to a Stanley Cup final, even if they win the Stanley Cup, it's still a stupid move that will never be linked to turning this thing around for the team. It's still the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
Embarrass Sean Couturier, who somehow miraculously saved his career when they thought it was over with his multiple back surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that stands into where he is right now, if it's even a factor or not. But everything up until now has been led for everyone to believe that this is a legitimate captain and the right choice for the Flyers. And he's not good enough to be one of 20 in your lineup tonight.
Yeah. I mean, he's under contract with the Flyers till 2030. He is going to be a part of this thing. And if it's related to back and injury and whatever, then you can come out to the media and say, he's just slowed down a bit and we want to see him get a rest here.
So I checked in with Charlie O'Connor from Philly Sports. Yeah. I texted him. I said, hey, any word on where Torts was today?
Yeah.
And he said, we were told he was in the building but declined to speak. So they had Rocky Thompson talk. I specifically asked Flyers PR if it had anything to do with his hand, if he was getting a cast off or something, and they said no.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke yesterday after practice and didn't want to speak again.
So that to me is not that accountability thing. And the craziest thing is just, you know, last game, Kucherov turned one over against Boston, goes out a couple shifts later and sets up a goal that kind of sparks the Philly comeback and doesn't play after that. So Torts must have decided in that moment after the turnover, like he's not going to play again. Somehow he snuck back out in the ice. I don't know, but it's, and you know, I don't know what you think about it being against Toronto. To me, this is like it doesn't not matter.
Like he, what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that Torts loves attention and there's the most media attention here and he gets to be like, yes, look at what I'm doing. I'll hold anyone accountable.
It's a bigger story when he's against the Toronto Maple Leafs than any other team in the league.
Yeah.
Because of the media. So I am with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
This is the Torts roller coaster continues for my love and hate relationship with him.
Yeah.
Where I thought it was coming around the corner. I was like, you know, I'm starting to like him. I see him talking about dogs and all this stuff. And then he scratches his captain against the Leafs. I'm back.
This is the Babcock stuff, though, where it feels like the ego gets too big for some of these guys and they need to insert themselves in a way that makes them a part of the story. Torts has done a good job with the Flyers this year. Make no mistake about it. And
Torts
I believe in accountability.
Good job over the course of his coaching career. But he has those handful of moments where you go, Torts, you're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're doing it again. This is one of those you're doing it again moments,
yeah,
when his blueprint eventually runs out.
For sure. You got the captain of your team. You don't think he influences opinion within your room and he's frustrated how he's been treated?
He's done this.
He doesn't get to be a part of the chase for playoffs after what he's been through?
He's done this on every team where he just chases himself out of a situation.
Mm-hmm. Brooksy, if I want to explain it to you, I would.
And like if you're Briere and Jones, you defend him and back him and say this is, you know, he'll hold anybody accountable. But when things, when you miss playoffs here and you go, you know, what happened?
Here's what Briere said about him as my page spins. He had a quote on it today. He said, Danny Briere on the Flyers' decision to healthy scratch captain Sean Couturier tonight. I can tell you one thing with John Tortorella, it doesn't matter who it is. That's what he's known for. He treats everybody the same way.
But it's not.
That's BS.
Yeah.
That's BS. Because it's not true. It's a great soundbite, but it's not true that everybody gets treated the same. That is BS beyond belief. It's not true. There's some guys that get more rope. There's some guys get more leeway. Some guys have better reputations than others. I'm going to lean over. This guy gets five chances to make up a mistake. You get two, you get one. Mm-hmm. That's the way it really works.
What's crazy with this particular case is that it's Sean Couturier. Because typically when he said, you're the guy who gets one chance, it's Patrick Laine or P.L. Dubois or whichever type of guy like that where, you know, a skilled guy who doesn't work, who doesn't try, who doesn't defend in the same way that Torts would expect them to. That's not Sean Couturier. Couturier's up for the Selkie every year he's healthy.
Are they, like, the thing that gets me is, are they better with whoever they're bringing in? It's like, it's just, there's no
are
world.
Are they better tonight? You're right.
There's just no world they're better without him.
And so maybe you're making the case that we don't care if we make playoffs this year. This is about learning for the big picture. I bet you those guys in your lineup, looks like the bottom two centers are Ryan Poehling and Noah Cates. They're going to have Ollie Lixell in tonight.
Mm.
You know?
See, this is,
it's a way
to
lose a room, is it not?
It's I don't know, there's something about these type of coaches, because we had this with Keenan where Keenan would be all over like a Brian Leetch and bench him like during the conference final against New Jersey. And it's almost as if they need something. They need an excuse. They need something. So if they lose, it's, well, how could I win with Brian Leetch not
playing like that?
How can we have made the playoffs when our captain doesn't show up for a game, mm-hmm, or I couldn't play him? I couldn't
like couching it.
It was on Couturier. It was on Brian Leetch. It was on this guy. It takes.
Did he really bench Brian Leetch?
He benched Brian Leetch.
Oof!
During the conference final, and we miraculously found a way. Yes.
Whoa, I didn't know that. Anyways,
That's just crazy looking at Kucherov's
and Mark Messier got him to admit it was a bad mistake.
Yeah.
The ice time for Kucherov, like he played 11:10 last game, but prior to that, he played 16:10, 14:30, you know, 17:16. Like they had been using him. It's not like he's been so trash they felt they couldn't play him in games.
He's clearly hasn't been, like he's had a bad run of games here, and you look at his game logs. He hasn't been great, but the ups and downs of a long NHL season where sure. you're on the captain of a team that's in a playoff spot they're not supposed to be. It's like. I just don't get the upside. I have no idea what the upside is.
No Atkinson. They just traded for Gurianov. Yeah. He's not going to play too. So
anyways.
One last thing for me please. On this is that I don't think there's a recovery from this.
I actually think this one is kind of just going to linger. It's going to be a black mark.
It will linger for an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know how Couturier and Torts can put this behind them. It will always be hanging over Sean's head.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's just such a crucial time. There's so often in hockey, you're playing preseason, or you're training in the summer, you're playing preseason games, or you're on a team that's not going to make playoffs. Or it's so rare in your career that you get to be in the playoff chase. These are the games where you're like, we're in the thick. You know, we can be out of playoffs. We could be up to, you know, second. We could, and he to deny him being a part of a game against the Toronto Maple Leafs and, you know, with less than a month to go, the timing of it is just, it's personal.
It's personal.
It's so personal.
Yeah.
Like, I talk to ex-players every day.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon to hear someone say, like, that guy, he ended my career. He ruined my career. And then now you're years later after, and some of these coaches, they wonder why my phone's not ringing, why I'm not getting invited to certain things. And it's like, because you were a dick.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's why.
Like, there are some very successful.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. Right. And it's funny that like a guy like John Cooper can still be a hard ass, but these things don't happen where he takes his best players and embarrasses them, you know, or like he manages to walk a line of being a hard guy who doesn't do these sorts of things. So anyway.
All right. I think we exhausted our feelings on a healthy scratch on the Philadelphia Flyer captain.
Yeah. I wish it was like the Flyers hour here, but I wish I could have a zag or another opinion on it, but it's just impossible. Like, I guess if you're a Flyers fan and you've watched him stink for a few games, you're like, well, I guess, but it's just impossible.
I can't believe Torts isn't talking about it.
No, that's crazy.
I know this is a big deal.
Well, he can't hide from it.
And he's saying, like, I wish I didn't have to do this, but here's why, you know, or whatever. But
the fact that he sent Rocky Thompson out there today, and Rocky Thompson's like, well, I can't speak to it. It was Torts' decision.
Right.
It's like, well,
what are we doing here?
Anyways.
In about 12 minutes, we're going to welcome in Scott Hartnell. Former NHLer, former Philadelphia Flyer, does some great work.
Former Torts player.
There's plenty to chew.
Yes.
on this conversation, presently now with the NHL Network as an analyst, so we'll have an interesting pickup on this conversation with Scott Hartnell. In the meantime, the Leafs get ready. Where do you want to start in terms of storylines? From a Leaf angle, is it simply Samsonov going back to Samsonov tonight that surprises us?
How are you guys feeling about talking with the Leafs the next month?
Great.
Just in terms of unique storylines for the rest of the time. It just feels like they can't move up, really. They can move down if they really go in the stinker, but it doesn't feel like they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marner's hurt. When he gets back, I guess that's something else. But it really feels like we've moved into the annual last month malaise with the Leafs here.
They got the malaise.
Well, no, it's just, I think, you know, you look at the standings, not a lot of teams are, you know, there's the crappy bottom, but not a lot of teams are playing for a lot. The top teams in the East, they're kind of set.
Yeah. And if you've got that attitude that there's just nothing to play for in the next 16 games, like, I think they're making a bad mistake. I think there's so many interesting storylines.
What do you coach if you're a Keefe over this next stretch? Like, what are you talking about? The special teams?
Special teams.
Okay. 77%
pairings,
penalty kill.
Pairings. lines.
It's about finding how to optimize this group. You know, McMahon has made a case for himself to play more. Holmberg has played all through the lineup.
They're big stories. And they're not big stories just waiting for game one. To me, they're big stories for the next 16 games and how they continue to progress and how they get themselves mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs, which he's never experienced before in his life.
To me, that them, how they kind of handle these bigger game sports, because they have, how many games against Tampa that they have coming up? I think they got a couple against Tampa. They have Florida coming up twice. Like, they're going to get some tests here. Mm-hmm. And I think the Tampa one of them is the very last game of the season, so you don't know what's going to be happening in that one. But, like,
I'm watching Tampa right now just play every game like they're in the Stanley Cup playoffs now mode.
Well, that's kind of sucks for the Leafs that all these teams around them. Like,
so the Leafs got to start prepping themselves for this. And a lot of people obviously focused on the last minute and a half against Saturday night, but there was a sense there for 40 minutes that they had that style of play that was conducive to what they might see in the the playoffs
and Carolina's a good team.
But Carolina, to me, is the type of team that I would like the Leafs to play in a playoff series, as opposed to one like the Bruins or the Panthers, where they don't really have a ton of snarl on their team. Like, I feel
ton, but they're big and heavy.
Yeah, but
and
not
they do lean.
Not in
they
the same lean. Way as Boston or Florida. Like, that.
Different.
It's a different division. It's a different world.
It's funny, I was watching our boy Biz, who, you know, we talked to once in a while here. Biz Nasty was talking to Ryan Whitney about how tough the Leafs are, you know, and how the Leafs do have, and they haven't had guys who are tough the way that they have guys now who are willing to fight and get in your face and all that. And
Who just off the bat, like, who's?
It's Edmondson and Labushkin and Benoit and McCabe and Reeves. And, you know, there's a number of guys at least.
Bertuzzi.
Just more willing. But I am curious to see if it matters when it's still not at the core, which is a common thing that I beat up on. But, you know, will that they be able to handle? Whoever plays them is going to lean on the four main guys up front. So we'll see if those other guys who are physical can slow that down in some way.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Leafs are looking for their ninth straight win against the Flyers, which is
that's
a lot of wins.
That's nice. It's nice to
big number here.
Well, they've stunk for a while, and the Leafs have been really good in the regular season, so it doesn't surprise you totally.
All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper on playing the Philadelphia Flyers tonight.
Well, they're a team, you know, like a lot of us that are playing to qualify for the playoffs, and things are getting tight around just so. So, yeah, for that reason, and they're a proud team, you know, they're coming off a loss in Boston, lost against us. So, yeah, they're going to be, they're going to play well, they're going to play hard. I fully expect a response. We talked to our team about that here today. Obviously, you know, something like scratching their captain is, you know, like all those kind of things get your team's attention. So, you know, we certainly expect their best tonight.
So, Kipper, you weren't here last week when they played. But they left the top power play unit on when they're up 6-1. Rocky Thompson was screaming at Sheldon Keefe. Can you have is there going to be a fight because of that? Does that matter? DeLorie is back in the lineup tonight. Reeves is, does that really matter?
Probably not as much as you would. I'm not crazy about it either, but that tends to be my old kind of school thing. At the end of the day, 6-2, 7-2, 8-2, running up the score. I know how you feel, and I'm not dead set against it as much as I would have been maybe 5 or 10 years ago. It's like watching these stupid celebrations now, and it's like I don't even have a feeling on celebrations anymore.
True.
Do whatever you need to express yourself, and then we'll just drop the puck.
Did you see that kid in the WHL with the selfie stick?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
But you know what? Like, it when no one is offended by it loses its teeth. I know.
I don't care.
You don't care about the selfie stick? What's happened, Kimmy?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I heard some story, minor league, whatever, my son's age, based some. You know, 8-year-old kid did like a canoe after got a 2-minute taunting penalty or unsportsmanlike penalty. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, well,
was anyone offended by the kid canoeing?
Did you see the kid do the worm?
I did see that. It's like,
first intermission in Calgary.
Yeah. It's terrible. Oh, was it an intermission?
Oh, no. It was a shootout something.
Oh, I thought it was like
No, it was nothing.
No. Okay, well, then whatever.
Throw them out there, okay. Yeah. But, like, to be truly upset, I think you've got bigger fish to fry right now.
You do.
Than worrying about a team putting out.
I actually think even if the point is correct that the Leafs shouldn't have done it or the team in the lead shouldn't do it, it's embarrassing to say anything about it as the team trailing. Hey, stop doing that. Quit doing the goal trying other team.
You know my thoughts. Pathetic. Yeah. I would have been just as pissed as them.
Right.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
For sure. Competitive guy. I don't know what to tell you.
I get it. You got some cookie monsters out there that want, you know, are gunning for 70 goals. So, like, you don't have the guts to stand up to them saying that's enough.
Yeah.
Right? So fair that's enough. On. But, whatever. It's your business.
By the way, the Flyers' run of schedule is, so they lost to the Leafs, Boston, Leafs, Carolina, Boston, Florida, New York Rangers.
Oh, my God. So, they could be out of the playoff
picture.
They're missing playoffs.
The only thing they have going for them is Caps aren't great, Islanders aren't great, Red Wings aren't great. Who's going to take the spot?
That is a gauntlet of all gauntlets,
though.
That's
rough. They may head into April multiple points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
All right, where do you want to go with your next Kippers Clipper
Let's talk about the D-core. Tonight, Benoit draws back in. He's going to play with Jake McCabe, Riley with Brody, Edmondson, Liljegren. Let's listen to Sheldon Keefe on the Leafs D-core.
Yeah, I think you know, we like how the pieces have fit in here. Obviously, we're without Labushkin here tonight, but with he and Edmondson, it gives us far better depth. Really, since their arrival, we've essentially just been kind of rolling the three D pairs and not concerned about matchups or anything like that. We think each pair can take on any matchup or responsibility, and we don't have to go chasing things. So that we think is helpful. And then as I'm sure we'll see tonight with Benoit coming in, like, we've got other guys that are hungry that can push the group and can help us respond to illness or injuries like we're going to go through here today. So those are all healthy things for us.
So, I mean, there's two ways to listen to that clip where he's like, yeah, we can match our center. He's like, or it's like, none of them are very good, so it just doesn't really matter to us.
Yeah, I mean,
that's more.
He says they don't have to chase matchups with these pairs, which is interesting.
But who would you match up against the other team? Like, if you had to, I guess it's going to be Riley and
Brody.
Labushkin? Like, it's just, to me, they can put anyone out there. It's going to be the same results.
Yeah, there's not a clear shutdown pair. Benoit McCabe's going to be interesting because Brody and McCabe have not proven they can be a good shutdown pair. Like, if Benoit, guys, there's a world where Brody's the guy out. Am I crazy there?
I mentioned that, I think, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, that, like, he could use a night off.
Like, if Edmondson and Liljegren can kind of find something as your third pair, and Brody and Benoit, or sorry, if McCabe and Benoit click at all, Riley and Labushkin?
There isn't a world that you really think that the Leafs could have a legitimate shot of getting out of the first round if somehow Brody does not find a way to come back to being a top four guy for them, is there?
Well, I wonder then if he's a guy, like you said, that, like Tavares, who he looks best with rest. Like, could Brody use a rest, like you said, and actually come back and be a better version of himself? Because the version he's been lately has not been
inspiring. I got to think if he continues to kind of struggle here, that rest will come sooner opposed to the last five games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he could use a reset.
Yeah, it actually makes more sense to happen now than later.
But, yeah, I have a hard time believing that Keefe would do it. Like,
coach just scratched his captain.
Well, yeah, but there's a conversation to be had about the differences between Sheldon and John Tortorella.
Yeah.
But I just think that, like, they've been through so much together, those two guys, and it just feels like he's been his top pair guy. And, I mean, you look at these lineup again tonight, Riley Brody right back at you, top pair. Mm-hmm. It's just, it feels that they're going to live and die with him playing most nights, and you know what might happen. But
listen, I look at Edmondson and Liljegren, and this is now the push for Liljegren to turn into this offensive pace of play type of guy when he's on the ice. I think he's – I'm interested in watching him tonight because I think he's got green light written all over him.
I watched the power plays back that he was on for them. What a rally killer. Oh, my God. Every time the puck touched the stick, he shot it. And just like, you know, you've got – it's Matthews and it's Tavares and it's Nylander and it gets to Liljegren who shoots one from 60 feet and the goalie catches it or whatever. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe he'll be better with a little more time, but it's it didn't go well last game.
I guess growing up, he was an offensive type of defenseman.
Yep.
Right?
He was drafted.
He was drafted as a guy that could produce points.
Yeah.
What's the best year he's had so far as a Leaf producing?
Has he had 30 points? I'd be shocked if he has. I'm looking.
You get the Jeopardy music out
the
here?
The Jeopardy music. And the grand total, his highest point total 18. Is 23.
I lied, that was assist. 23, yeah.
23.
He's at 20 right now in 47 games.
How do you think Morgan Riley's going to handle this for, what, the third or fourth time
he
in the last few years where he's just
he has to know.
Bumped off?
I think you can explain it to Morgan that you're trying to give this kid a chance to find confidence and to matter and be relevant to the team. But, yeah, I talked about Brody being out in playoffs. It's not a pause. It's really hard to not see, let's say it's a seven-game first season or a series. It's hard to not see Benoit playing in, like, five of them to me because it's just bigger problems, and at least he's steady and reliable and does his thing. So,
all right, let's go.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get Scott Hartnell. We'll talk a little Flyers, and we'll come back and revisit the Leafs, including going back to Samsonov.
Wild.
Where does that leave Joseph Woll?
Presumably playing tomorrow.
Yeah, playing tomorrow.
Where does that leave the rest of the regular season?
I don't know.
Who's leaning towards who? We'll get into that more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's welcome in Scott Hartnell. Played on a few teams, but the one that's really interesting right now is the one that he played that was coached by John Tortorella.
It's Torts time.
Harts, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm great. How are you fellas doing?
We're good. We were thankful for John Tortorella to give us a nice storyline to lead our show today, scratching his captain tonight in a very important game.
You're high-speed chase?
You're not about to get arrested, are you?
No, did you hear that? No, it was an ambulance just squeaked by us. I'm heading to hockey practice here with my boy, and then heading down to do the pre and the post for Wells Fargo Center tonight. So a busy couple hours here right now. But, yeah, it's like you said, Coot's getting scratched. I'm scratching my head wondering why. And honestly, all afternoon, I'm just thinking, like, is this a game plan? Is it a head game? Is it a wake-up call to the group that no one's safe? Everyone needs to play better. You know, all these things are going through my mind, and I really haven't put my finger on anything.
Well, we're certainly glad you found time for us, and thank you for that. In saying that, is there anything that you've experienced having him as a coach one time in your career in Columbus that can compare something like this?
I've been scratched, you know, probably 3-4 regular season games, and we were playing the first round in the playoffs against Pittsburgh, and, you know, it's obviously the playoffs are rough and tough. You need to fight for every inch. You need guys, you know, finishing bodies, kind of on the forechecks, and that's basically my game in a nutshell, right? And it was my birthday, April 18th, and game four, we're down 3-0 to the Pens, and he called me, and he's like, just a heads up, just so you're not shocked when you walk in. I know it's your birthday, but you're not in your pipe tonight. I was like, a little bit upset on my drive in there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this them are going to be for me, you know, kind of the exit meetings and stuff if we lose tonight. And anyways, you know, that was kind of the most, I guess, I don't know if embarrassed is the right word, but, you know, kind of head scratcher, whatever. And so I know how Coots feels. You know, he got named captain, you know, 5-6 weeks ago. And then basically, like, the game after that, it was his ice time started to dip, you know, a couple minutes each game, playing, you know, 10, 12, 13 minutes instead of 19 or 20. And, you know, you talk about production, you can't really get points in this NHL if you're not really on the power play or special teams, right, or playing with some good players. And you know, so I feel bad for him. He's pressing a little bit. You know, you grip the stick a little tighter. You know, he hadn't played in 2 years previous, so maybe that time off is really getting to him now. So, you know, maybe it's a hard reset for him. You know, that's how I would take it. And then, you know, you try and shove it up as, you know what, when he gets back in the lineup next game.
So I think...
Well put.
Yeah, and like the spin from a lot of Torts apologists is just that it doesn't matter who you are. You know, you can get scratched at any time. Everyone's accountable and all that. But is there a point where as a player... You're like, I don't care, man. Like, I'm the captain. I'm not going to forget this. Like, can there be a lasting scar here?
Yeah. Oh, obviously, Coots is going to look back at the year and you know, kind of, I guess at the halfway point, he had the same number, exactly the same numbers that he had when he won the Selke trophy. You know, for the best of, you know, two way forward, right? Beat Patrice Bergeron that year and you know, the same points, and then all of a sudden his minutes got, you know, slashed really almost in half, and he had the C on his jersey. So I don't get it, just because, you know, you're looking for this guy to lead and step up and play those hard minutes and all that stuff. But you know, it's just a little frustrating. You know, I played with Coots for, you know, 3-4 years as a Flyer, and you know, I knew him as a young kid. Obviously, I still see him around town today, and you know, I know how he's feeling. It's like one of the worst feelings in the world as a professional hockey player, to not get out there and battle with your teammates, and you're in a playoff race. That's the thing too that I think Coots is struggling with. Like, you want me to play and shut down Matthews and Marner and Nylander, and he hasn't really been put in a situation like that the last few weeks. You know, I think he's trying to figure out why. And you know, maybe there's a conversation you know, him and Torts have to have to either, you know, kind of have a bitch session, I guess, yelling at each other, or you know, kind of calmly talk it out and say, what's the deal here? Well, you know, why, you know, and try and figure that out. But at the end of the day, you know, the guys got to step up, and you know, I'm sure in that dressing room too, they're you know, kind of looking at each other like, oh, I can't believe he's not playing. But you know, business is business, you know, and you got to beat this team that came in here last week and absolutely spanked them.
We're talking to Scott Hartnell, former National Hockey Leaguer and current NHL Network analyst. We're talking Flyers and Leafs. Is there a thought here with the Tortorella move that he's looking at something that's slipping out of his hands and maybe could use an excuse on my best players didn't show up when we needed it most? He's looking in the rearview mirror. There's the Washington Capitals. There's the Detroit Red Wings that maybe have maybe turned a corner a little bit here. And something that's slipping out of his hands right now. Are they going to hold on?
Well, yeah. Well, great question. That's a $1 million question. They got, you know, the Rangers, Boston, Florida, Carolina, their next four games after tonight, after Toronto. So all the teams are at the top of the Eastern Conference. So it's, you know, very, you know, interesting to see how this week will go. If they can, you know, go 500 or win 4-5, you know, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but you know, they'll put the challenge on themselves to do it. And, you know, Torts, when he first got here last year, it was you know, rebuild mold, right down to the foundation, you know, figure out what we got here, blah, 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 you know. And then this year the bar was set even lower, I think, because everyone picked the Flyers to be, you know, third last or dead last, right? And so I think, you know, in that standpoint, they've had a heck of a season. But now it's crunch time. Now you need to lean on your veterans, I think, personally, in my view, to get you through this kind of this hard patch, right? And you got to play them. You got to get them out there in all situations. And you know, it's he's doing the opposite, you know, which is, you know, kind of obviously it's his ship to run, you know, sink or swim, right? So That's kind of the whole deal that he has, and he's doing it the way that he thinks is giving his team the best chance to win.
So when you look to guys in your room and you say, okay, we're without Couturier, we're without Atkinson, and you say you're the guys who need to pick it up, the veterans they do have, you know, Mark Stahl and Eric Johnson aren't exactly lifelong Flyers. Like who are the guys here in this Flyers room that can say, okay, like we'll carry the mantle in these guys' absence?
Well, Owen Tippett has been playing really well. The top line, Morgan Frost, who is, you know, I'm sure you guys covered too. He was scratched, you know, 12 of the first 25 games, right? And and he's been playing really well the last, few weeks. Travis Konechny, he's got, I think 4 assists in his last 3 games, and he hasn't scored, so he's due for a big night. And you got just a lot of young guys that have kind of are starting their NHL career that are trying to prove themselves to get going. So we'll see what happens. And I think Mark Stahl even is a healthy scratch tonight as well. So they're going with the youth movement tonight, and we'll see where that gets them. But if I'm the Maple Leafs, you got to press the pedal down here in the first 5 minutes and try and bury this fragile team the Flyers are right now.
Hey Scott, always appreciate your time coming on the show. Have a great day. Have a great practice.
All right. Thanks, Kipper. See you guys.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Scott Hartnell. See, he's as baffled as
I gotta
we,
say,
we were to start the show.
I feel better about our takes hearing someone like him be like.
He covers the team.
Yeah.
He played
for
Jords.
Like, I don't know what this is.
I was looking at for an article from when Hartnell was scratched.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Joey Alfari from NBC Sports. Heart scratcher. Torts explain while Hartnell was a healthy scratch, and then you go through and it's all about this. Since becoming the head coach of the Blue Jackets, Tortorella hasn't been shy about leaving his mark on his new team.
Listen,
how many? It's 2015, bud.
Yeah.
If we backtracked Tortorella over his coaching career, there's a dozen of these head scratching scratches. Yeah, does that head scratch?
You're right.
I don't want to repeat that.
I saw the hamster wheel.
I said it right? Yeah.
And it's a thing with him where he's, sitting in a dark room going, what can I do to really grab some attention here?
Yeah. Yeah, and that does seem like part of it,
Milestone.
Too.
Milestone. He just mentioned
part of the story.
His birthday?
Yeah.
Right? A playoff game on his birthday. That stuff.
A playoff game on his birthday.
That stuff, I'm sure, finds a way to factor in on his decision on having a bigger impact.
Someone, I reached out to someone in, who covers the Flyers too and said that another big one was that he scratched Sanheim with a text message on his homecoming game to Calgary with his friends and family had traveled to see.
He doesn't care about people in their hometowns
either.
Yeah,
this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one's also been noted by a few players over his career.
What's that, the homecoming or friends and family? Like, I'll show you who's,
Don't care.
Yeah.
Non-factor.
So as much as people love to be like, he gets the guy's attention, whatever, it's like,
it's Travis Sanheim. Like, if you're scratching a guy that's a bubble guy in his hometown or whatever, I'm not going to get as bent out of shape. Like, I got bent out of shape with Simone Benoit against Montreal. I thought that was a little bit sketchy or whatever.
Sanheim's their number one guy.
He's like really good.
I don't care if it's your first time in the NHL or at any point if you played 10 or 15 years. Going back home to play in a town that you grew up in is a big deal. Mm-hmm. A big deal. And you know who it's a big deal for, too?
Those people who are a part of your rise?
Teammates.
Ah.
Teammates as well. Okay? We all know whose hometown we're going to. We know who's going to see friends and family and school teachers and fellow students. Because we see them waiting after practice. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sammy, I get what you're saying, that if it was a star, it's one thing, but it doesn't matter any of us. It kind of, you feel it in your room that it's awkward. And we don't like to feel awkward.
Yeah. And I will say, there is a quote from Atkinson from a month ago where he talked about how he doesn't care about who gets scratched. It can be anyone. It's not meant to be personal. It's a wake-up call, and you got to come back and be better and all that. But eventually, this stuff sticks with you a little bit. And
okay, before the break, we mentioned Samsonov going back in net tonight.
Yes.
I am kind of surprised.
I'm surprised too, but I think they're looking at it as a two-game set, in which guy do you want to play which night.
Yeah, and why not give Samsonov and go back to his former team in Washington?
I think he's avoid the head games
really?
For old Sammy, who's already in his own ears a bit. Maybe not has go spend has time with his ex-girlfriend.
Has he won there? He's won there already, has he not?
I can't remember. I don't... But I remember him speaking at length about how much he hated it the one time. Remember the first game back there? He was like,
nervous.
I'm really nervous. And I'm like, just.
So maybe if you're going to pick a game for each guy, you say, who cares who goes when, and might as well just.
But no, I do think it's surprising that it's Samsonov first. Mm-hmm. I think it's a statement about who's the starter and who's the backup.
To me, it's about the set.
I got to go with Sammy a little bit here that I think it's leaning towards. Like we spent the other day talking about, is it going to be every other start now for each one of them, trying to prepare both of them, or is there a sense that Sammy could get 9 or 10 of the last 16 in?
Nah, see, to me, it's like,
what's the split for you?
Unless Wohl got hurt last game against Boston, unless something flared up on him, then they're going to want to get this guy back in. It's now been 10 days.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, when was that?
10 days ago since Wohl played. So to me, it's like they're going to want to get him back in, obviously. So to me, it's like, okay, we got back-to-back. They're both going to play. You're just picking which guy you want to play which game. But if it is, you know, unless something's hurt or it's about the set, then it's really, I don't know, then it would be very strange to be like, I didn't like him against the Boston Bruins in Boston on a back-to-back. So now the other guy's the starter.
All right, all I know is you get past tonight and tomorrow night in Washington and you got the Edmonton Oilers coming in. And I'm not flipping a coin to start the goalie.
I like our talk yesterday. It's going to be whoever plays better.
I'm not sure.
I bet it's Sammy.
I'm not convinced right now that it'll come down to just these two starts. I think Sheldon believes that Sammy's put in enough work and enough effort since January 1st.
Okay.
And I know that you're...
No. I get it.
I know that... He still has his .890 season average.
Yeah.
But he's probably .910, .912 since January 1st. I think they're putting a lot of stock in that.
Well, then all I'll say is that the two starts for Wohl, giving him Boston, you can't take those two and say he didn't play well enough in those games, so now we're moving on. To me, what it is that you're trying to build the confidence of Samsonov, and maybe I just had the wrong read on this. They gave him the easier games to get him the confidence because they see him as the number one guy and they want him feeling better. They're less worried about Wohl's confidence. And yeah, maybe this is about shaping Samsonov to be their guy in playoffs.
All right.
For the Leafs.
We don't go any further than...
against the Bruins.
Tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Philadelphia Flyers, it will be Samsonov's start. We'll see where this conversation starts tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Bart Scott.
All right. Our thanks to Scott Hartnell in the first hour. Don't go away as we go national next. Mike Rupp will join us as we cover the National Hockey League with Rupper. We haven't had Rupper on in a while.
No,
looking forward to
excited
it.
Excited about it.
Stick around, folks. Real Kipper and Bourne.